Joining us right now is a member of our KFGO family. Paulie Lyons is with us. Paulie is, well, actually, you're doing overnights for a while, as Al Amit, unfortunately, left us for a new venture over at the Valley News Live. And he will start taking over Al's duties tonight at midnight. But I do want to mention that he let us know that coming up tomorrow, I think it is, the 12th anniversary of your double lung transplant.
12 years. Can you believe it?
12 years. I don't even remember when it happened, but then I don't think I knew you when it happened.
I don't think you did, no.
Yeah.
But it was quite the wild ride, I must say.
Transplantation, of course, is becoming more and more common.
Right.
But 12 years ago, double lung probably wasn't all that... I wasn't going to say... It didn't happen all that often.
Not too often. No.
But let's start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. What happened? What's the cause? Why did you need the
double lung transplant? I was born with cystic fibrosis. And as you know, that does... one of the symptoms is it does attack the lungs, fills it with a bunch of mucus, and it basically breaks down the lungs over a period of time. And it just got to the point back in 1999 where my lungs had gotten so bad that I did go to a pulmonologist, and he recommended that I go in for a double lung transplant. And so it was getting a little bit more difficult. At first, I wasn't sure if I was getting sick or just really out of shape. But the one factor that I knew I was starting to get bad is me and some friends were down in Minneapolis for a wrestling pay-per-view at the Target Center.
And your wrestling.
I know. I had to throw it in there. But we were staying at a hotel about two blocks from the Target Center, and we decided to walk there instead of face all the traffic. Well, a couple times I was just getting so winded, I had to sit down twice. And I was just like, I'm only two blocks from the Target Center and I'm getting this winded. How is this happening? So that was my first indication I was kind of getting into rough shape.
Were you diagnosed? You said you were born with it, but I mean, the doctors diagnosed it immediately?
Not immediately. At first they were thinking it was just mainly a failure to thrive. But then I went, after numerous doctor's appointments, I went down to the University of Minnesota where they actually diagnosed me with cystic fibrosis. Mm.
So that means what? I mean, what did happen to your lungs? You said it was filled with mucus, but is that...
Right, and it was just getting so beat up, and it was filled with scar tissue, and... It just got to the point where I was down to less than 20% lung capacity. I mean, if you can imagine, if you have to yawn, not being able to get enough oxygen into your lungs to take a full yawn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just getting that bad.
Okay. So. What was it as far as you heard it's going to happen, that you needed this?
Right.
What went through your mind? Scared?
A little bit. I'd be lying if I said, no, I wasn't scared. But yeah, I was a little bit scared. But, you know, at the same time, I knew that this was probably my only way to get better. So, you know, in my mind, a lot of times it wasn't going to be a question of if it'll happen. To me, it was always a question of when. I know a lot of other people, they were wondering if, especially my folks. I tell people all the time, I don't know who the weight was harder on, me or my folks, because I was... moved back in with them at the time just so I could save on bills and everything. So,
speaking of waiting, how long was the wait?
The wait was about 2.5 years.
It was?
Yeah. So
meanwhile, you were deteriorating as this went on?
Yeah, I was on oxygen the whole time. I was doing four breathing treatments every single day. And I was still working at the time. I decided I wanted to keep working. I was working at another radio station and over at Valley News Live at the time. And I figured, you know, doing those two jobs, it wasn't very physical work, just, you know, pushing a lot of buttons. So I figured I could still keep doing that, you know, contrary to what my doctor was telling me. He was telling me he'd prefer that I didn't work. Mm-hmm. But I told him, I just don't want to do that, because if I just sat in my folks' place just waiting for that call, I'd drive myself crazy. So I actually got the call while I was at work at the radio station.
Mm-hmm. I guess I mentioned it once a long time ago, but my son had a corneal transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a wait, but it was not really all that long as you did, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some false alarms. We had, hey, we've got one. So we had to run down to Minneapolis. We're going to do it at the U of M at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, don't come. We found out that the child was sick, or right. You know, with this. Was it the first one right out?
First one right out. And I was relieved by that because they did tell us stories about a lot of these people who did get that dry run, is what we called it. And I can't imagine how heartbreaking that must have been. We were just like, oh, so close. You know, we were right. But we actually got the first time out. I was so lucky the way this whole thing went down. The first call right out of the chute. I recovered a lot quicker than doctors expected me to, and heck, I'm still here today. So I feel very fortunate about everything.
KFGO's Paulie Lyons is with us. Tomorrow is the 12th anniversary of his double lung transplant. And by the way, if you'd like to call and ask a question, you certainly may. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Those are our numbers here at KFGO. Where was it done at?
It was done at the University of Minnesota Fairview.
Okay.
And I still go down there like every 6 months for checkups. But at the time, I was going down probably either every other month or every 3 months prior to the transplant.
They did not do that here then at that time, obviously.
No.
Okay. So what was the time period when you heard there was some? Because I know it's a time period that you only have a certain amount of time. When they say, we've got a donor, what was the time period we say, okay, we got a donor, get down here. What was the time period between they needed to make the transplant?
I'm guessing it would probably be about 12 hours.
12 hours.
They needed to get the transplant going. So I got the call from my mom at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, was down in the cities by about 6:30, and finally went into the operation.
6:30, you flew?
Yeah. They flew us out to the jet center.
Oh, okay.
Or took us out to the jet center. My plane was actually parked next to the group of the Eagles. They were playing in town that night. And so they flew us down in a small jet. And so we got there at about 6 o'clock and then transported over to the U of M. And they proceeded to start putting a whole bunch of tubes connected up to me. So
when we come back from this break, again, Paulie is with us. It's the 12th anniversary of his double lung transplant. We're talking about donation of your organs, and you knew the parents. And matter of fact, I met the parents at a party, what was it, two years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago of the young man who passed away, and they made his organs up available, and they're now with you, and you're here with us, thank God. So we'll talk more about that in just a couple of moments here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Look, Paulie in the plane next to you.
You realize if you'd gotten on the wrong plane, you could have been standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
I could have.
Instead of being down
there.
That's
right.
Thanks.
9:19 is our time here at KFGO. This is Nighttime Live. Bob Harris along with Scott Sorum and Paulie Lyons, our special guest tonight. He is celebrating his 12th anniversary. No, not wedding. No, not his birthday, but his 12th anniversary of his double lung transplant. And that happened 12 years ago down in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Mm-hmm. But 2 years ago, I had a chance to meet Audrey and
Bob Johnson.
And they were the parents of the young man who, I don't know, can he just say lost his life? But I don't know if you know what happened. If you don't mention it, I don't mind. But
it was a suicide.
It was, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I did get to meet Audrey and Bob. They actually went through the transplant program wondering if they wanted to meet or if we wanted to meet. And I was more than happy to meet up with them. I wanted to thank them. But in that sort of situation, you know that the other person is really dealing with, you know, the death of a loved one and how hard that must be. So I thought, you know, I would like to meet them, but I'll let them, you know, set up the time when they want to meet me.
I would have to imagine that they were also very happy to realize that even though they lost their son, actually part of him is still living.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the things, you know, when I started thinking about I'd kind of get depressed about knowing that somebody was going to have to die for me to get my transplant. And after a while that sort of, you know, made me sad. But when you start thinking about it, that person was probably going to die anyways. And, you know, no matter if you needed a lung transplant, if you didn't need a transplant of some sort, and what better way to have that person live on in somebody else making their life better other than transplant?
Now, most people will be able to, or do, I should say, put their mark on a driver's license or whatever, mm-hmm. and say, "Yes, I want to make myself an organ donor." When a young man like that passes away, is that the parents' choice then?
Actually, it was his choice.
It was.
He did mention to them shortly before he did pass away that he was an organ donor and would, you know, if in the event that he was, you know, should he'd pass away, he wanted to donate his organs. And I think me and about five other people got parts of Jesse, was his name.
Oh, okay.
And you know, she did meet the person with the heart, and me and I think one or two of the other people.
Wow.
And when she came down to me in Minneapolis, we set it up in, you know, just in coordination with my doctor's appointments down there. She came up to me with a stethoscope and she said, "I want to hear Jesse's lungs." And I thought,
man,
that was so neat. Because, you know, that's awesome. Because I imagine that has to be some comfort to the person who, you know, lost that special someone.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you, were you a thin guy before this happened?
Yes.
Because you can't weigh more than about 120 pounds soaking wet.
Well, you know, too, that's one of the things that goes along with cystic fibrosis people. They're usually very skinny people. Uh-huh. And it has to do a lot with the metabolism that's going on, because, you know, basically in one end, out the other is how it goes. It's kind of gross, I know, but...
Well, that's right. It's past 9 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Sure, sure.
But, yeah, folks, you wouldn't believe it, but Paulie will bring in at night maybe a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, mm-hmm. and... six pack of donuts from someplace, and
sure, what the heck,
you know, bring in all kinds of stuff. Oh yeah, a full can. We're talking the tall ones now,
yeah.
of the Pringles.
Absolutely.
They'll be gone.
They'll be gone. You know. You bet.
So. You couldn't sneak any away from him either. By the way, hey,
no,
that's mine.
I'm like a pit bull when it comes to that.
Did you bring any tonight?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, he'll be back at midnight, so
yeah,
maybe
maybe
he'll bring something then.
Exactly.
Hey, what do you mean, man? You got four cupcakes up there from Al Ahmed.
Oh,
there's
heck?
Only two left now. I had
four. Well, give him one. He didn't have one. Maybe you can switch for some Pringles.
Hey, there you go.
The donations, because mm-hmm. I know you keep up on it, but the donation scene overall, are things growing? Are people volunteering more to be on the donor program?
I believe that they are. You know, a lot of misconceptions out there, because I have talked to groups that were about a little bit leery about having, you know, their parts donated or friends donated. Misconception is the doctors won't try as hard to save you if you know that you're... That is total BS. Doctors will, you know, if you're in a certain situation where there is no hope, you know, after the doctors have done everything they could for you, only then they'll discuss, you know, with the family... to if donation is something that they would probably want to do. And, you know, going back to the license thing, quite honestly, I'd like to see that law changed to where people are donors unless they opt out, not an opt-in type thing, because then we might get more people to donate their organs, because every single day we lose more and more people who need transplants because there's just not enough donors. Mm-hmm. One of the people I was sort of mentoring after my transplant, seeing him lose the battle to cystic fibrosis, it was very hard for me to go to that funeral, because I quite honestly put myself in that place, and it was sad. And just hearing what he had to go through, I could really relate. But then seeing him not make it, that was tough.
After you mentioned you go every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Is that normal for mm-hmm. pretty much any transplant, heart,
I believe
liver,
so.
Anything?
Yeah, just to make sure everything is still working. Rejection is always going to be an issue. That's why I take so many pills, just to make sure that my body doesn't reject the part. Because as long as that, you know, somebody else's organs are in you, the body's always going to see that as a foreign entity. Mm-hmm. And so unless you keep up with the anti-rejection drugs, you might be in a little bit rough shape if you don't.
I have to back up just a second. I knew what I was going to ask you now. We mentioned about the license thing and everything, but is that all you need to become a donor, or do you have to make up something like a living will and saying, if I pass away, don't... try to revive me and donate my organs?
Right. Quite honestly, I think all you got to do is tell the people at the DMV. I could be wrong about that, but, you know, just let them know that, you know, you want to be a donor. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, I don't know if there's anything else that needs to be done So quite honestly, that's all I've heard that needs to be done.
You've been quite a fundraiser too, by the way, helping out cystic fibrosis. Mm-hmm. I know you've a couple of times you went over to the IDS tower to mm-hmm. Climb it, and a couple of times you failed, but last time around you made it, didn't you?
I did. The first time I tried it, I made it up 14 floors, and quite honestly, I probably did it not the smartest way. I tried to do it all at once, but thankfully the second time around that I did make it up, I was training with another friend of mine who was a lot more into the exercise program, and slowly but surely, I made it up all 50 floors of the IDS tower, and boy, that was one rush of adrenaline when you got to the top.
You know? Okay, so did you have to walk down or take the elevator?
I took the elevator. My legs were kind of hurting by the end of that, but it was a great feeling to make it up to that 50th floor, and when I got up there, I just said, thank you, Jesse, for allowing me to do that.
So, that's cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, you got the anniversary coming up tomorrow. You got big plans?
I'm going to have a little bit of a party going on over at one of my local watering holes, my Cheers bar. So I'll be the one drinking the Diet Coke or O'Doul's. So because, you know, that's one thing is I try to keep alcohol intake to a very, very, very minimal. Because some of the medication I'm on, you know, it does affect my liver and could be damaging to that. So, but, you know, if I ever do, it's probably once every 5 or 6 months I have a alcoholic beverage, just one. And you know, you got to celebrate a little
bit. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty much the same way. I haven't had a transplant. I'm pretty much the same way.
Sure.
You know, that I very, very rarely drink.
Right.
And then people look at me and go, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, come on.
Well, you know,
if you hold an O'Doul's, it looks like you're drinking.
Sure, sure. And some of my friends who knew me before the transplant, they go, really? You stopped drinking that much? You've really been able to hold up on that? And I go, yeah. And the older I get, the easier it gets to, because I still go to the bars. I like to have fun with karaoke and stuff, as do you. And and we sit there with our non-alcoholic stuff. And just seeing some of the people, the way they get later and in the night, I'm just like, you know, I am so glad I gave up drinking.
Yeah, and we give some really good laughs from you people who drink too
much. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm not going to tell the story about the first time you and I went to this place.
That I do love telling that story. Maybe sometime
should
else.
We tell that or don't we
could, yeah.
We don't have to tell the place, right?
Right, we don't have to.
We went to sing karaoke
right
at this particular business. Was it the first time we did it together? I can't remember.
I don't think it was the first time we did it together, but that was one of the first times you came to this certain place.
Yeah, because I never came to that place that you were. Right. And we went and we sat down, and we sat at a table, but the bar was quite close to us, behind us.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there was this yelling and hollering, and I can't remember what the subject was about. Was he hitting on the girl or something? I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah.
And I kind of leaned over to Polly, and I said, you know, this could be a fight, man. Do you think we should move? Think we should move? And just as I said that, you hear this, bang, bang! And the guy is laying on the floor right behind me.
Two punches right to the face.
Blood all over the place.
Yeah, and I just sat there and I looked at Bob after it was all over. I go, no, Bob, I think you can pretty much stay there. It's pretty much over. And Bob looked at me like, does this happen every day? That was so funny.
Oh, my word. I will never, ever, ever forget that.
That was great.
Well, listen, congratulations.
Thank you.
May your 12 years be 12 more and 12 more after that.
And, amen.
And, you know, and if there's any thing that, you know, that the people want more information on that, please consult your local physicians, mm-hmm. Consult, you know, the DMV to maybe change your registration on your license to make yourself a donor.
Right.
And, you know, it's just the right thing to do.
Absolutely. And if you want more information on cystic fibrosis, go to cff.org. And the stair climb, which I'm going to try to do again this February, coming up in February, so look on my Facebook page for more information about that. I'll be hitting people up for donations.
I was going to say, you make some bucks for them too, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Is that per floor?
I wish. No, but...
I mean, a nickel per floor? Or
no, they just donate however much money they want, and then I'll just take it to the top. And I already got, you know, over $100 in donations. A friend of mine who got married a couple of weeks ago, they donated all the money from their dollar dance to this stair climb.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. So. Well, listen, thank you very much. Paulie will be back at midnight tonight.
We'll be watching the storms too.
Riding shotgun over Coast to Coast AM and keeping an eye on the weather. Thanks, man.
You appreciate it.